CSI on the World. I'm John Batchelor on election night 2022 across the nation. And I'm joined by my distinguished colleagues, Jim McTague, former Washington editor of Barron's Magazine. He is in Pennsylvania, observing from the East Coast. Thaddeus McCotter, former member of Congress, now at American Greatness and Human Events, observing from Livonia, Detroit, Michigan, the Midwest. And Jeff Bliss of Pacific Watch, observing from California, from Orange County, the East, the Midwest, and the West. The votes are still being counted. Some states have closed, but many have not. And the decision here is very much a question of, will the Republicans disappoint? Will the Democrats exceed the expectations? Will the Congress change hands? All those questions to be answered over these next hours and days. And given how the vote counting can go in certain states, could be weeks. However, we begin with the map of the United States filling in very nicely with votes being counted across the country. So far, there have been no major disturbances. There was talk in Arizona of machines not working correctly, but hours have been extended in many counties. There is one large decision already made. It was made early. This is the state of Florida. Ron DeSantis running for re-election, overwhelmingly re-elected, near 60% according to the percentage I read in the Wall Street Journal, but it's early and the votes will all be counted. 89% are in. But in any event, Ron DeSantis won sizably, and so did Marco Rubio for his election in Florida. I begin, though, on the East Coast with Jim McTague, who is in Pennsylvania. Jim and I are both Pennsylvanians. We're both Keystoners. And Jim, you've been watching the East Coast races. What are the highlights so far? Any departure from the pattern that this is going to be a good year for the Republicans and a less than good year for the Democrats? Good evening to you, Jim.
Good evening, John. You know, I think it's a good day for the Democrats. Of course, we won't know for about a week. If we can't get Powerball in time, you know, don't hold your breath for the election. It's a high tide for the Republicans as opposed to a tidal wave. And the reason it's a high tide, and this is a surprise to me, if you look at some of the more controversial races, like the Senate races, Fetterman versus Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania, which is neck and neck. If you look at Herschel Walker, the Republican in Georgia, the badly flawed character flawed candidate versus Raphael Warnock, it's neck and neck. In both of those races, the Libertarian candidates have garnered a lot of votes. And to me, that says there is a segment of the population that is so disgusted with both parties that they're really throwing their votes away to the Libertarians. I see this in several states. So I think that's a theme, and that's why it'll be a good night for the Republicans. They probably will take control of the House, but it's not going to be a great night. Again, it's too close. It's too soon to call any of these races, and they are virtually neck and neck. You probably will have a runoff in Georgia because both candidates right now have under 50% of the vote. In Pennsylvania, Oz, who is from New Jersey, is trailing. He is a carpetbagger. And you have to understand, people from Pennsylvania, they like going to the New Jersey seashore, but they hate it when New Jersey people come into Pennsylvania. They derogatory, you know, they call them New Jersey drivers. So Oz had this going against him from the very beginning. And he had Donald Trump come in and campaign for him. And so this is really a test of Donald Trump's presidential ambitions. Can he put Oz over the top of a badly flawed Democratic candidate, a candidate who had a stroke and who performed badly in a debate so poorly that it frightened a lot of voters? And yet tonight, Fetterman early on is leading. In Georgia, Herschel Walker turns out to be have character flaws by the dozens. And so it took Donald Trump, the godfather of character flaws, to keep him in that race, I think. So this is another test of Donald Trump's presidential potential. So that's the trends I'm watching tonight. Again, how many votes go to the Libertarians, which shows a huge amount of disgust among independents and some party folk. And can Donald Trump help hopeless characters or seemingly hopeless characters? They seem hopeless to us, but let's remember that there's pockets of craziness across the country. And somebody who repels you in a state like Georgia or New York is beloved among their own peoples.
Thank you. We move to the Midwest. That is McCotter watching from Michigan. There's no Senate race in Michigan. There is a governor's race, but also watching Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, and Minnesota. Thaddeus, a good evening to you. You've been through so many campaigns. I don't ask for surprises. I ask for highlights. What are you watching? Good evening to you. Nope, Thaddeus isn't there, so I'll go to Jeff. Jeff, are you hearing me fine?
I am. I'm right here, John.
Oh, good. Jeff, we'll get back to Thaddeus in a minute in Michigan. You're watching from California, and the polls are going to be open for many hours in California, but you're watching the whole country function very carefully. And what highlights are you seeing, and what themes are you seeing coming through from all of the races that are still pouring in, Jeff?
Well, here in the West, I'd like to call out the Arizona races, because those numbers are starting to come out now. So we have the two congressional districts, the first and the second Arizona, that are split right now. So the first seems to be heading toward the Democrat, but we just have early numbers, so it's too early to call. And the second congressional district, it's heading toward the Republican, who's the incumbent. Now, in the Senate race, it's, you know, we have a difference of a little over 100,000. Mark Kelly, the astronaut, the husband of Gabby Giffords and the incumbent senator, still holding a lead over Blake Masters. And then the governor's race, you have a difference of just, you know, 100,000 votes there between Kerry Lake and Hobbs. That's another one. But Arizona's been plagued all day by, especially in Maricopa County, by some voting problems with their machines there. So that gave rise to the conspiracies and protests and lawsuits again. So we're still far from being done with them. But as we look out across the country, we're seeing what many people had predicted, a big number for the Republicans and, you know, eventual control of the two chambers. So right now, you know, you're talking about 87 seats for the Republicans in the House, 48 for the Democrats, and 42 in the Senate for the Democrats and 40 for the Republicans. But the Republicans are projected to get 51 there in the Senate, which is what a lot of people say. That's the real concentration. That's what everybody's looking at. That's where a lot of money from California and the West has gone to Senate races across the country.
And Jeff, what are the themes that you see out West, knowing that the votes are still being counted? What are people voting on? Is it different from what you see in the East?
It is different from what we see in the East. Out here in the West, if you're talking about some of the the frontier states like Nevada and Arizona and places like that, they're voting more about, you know, asserting themselves, you know, and cutting themselves away from a lot of Washington. And there's still a lot of strength among the Trump folks in those states. In places like Washington and Oregon, people are fed up with the longtime rule of the Liberal Party there, the Democrats. They're just thinking Portland and Seattle, they've just gone to hell, and we need to fix that. California appears like it'll continue along the same lines it usually does. However, there are about five or six races that are going to be very close, congressional races, and that's what a lot of people are focusing on. And, you know, if we even turn two of those to Republican in California, a lot of people say, well, that's a red wave in California.
And, Jeff, the gasoline prices have been a constant source of anxiety for people and on the evening news. Is that on the ballot, or is that something that is a global story?
That's more of a global story. I mean, people are talking about it a lot here, but they don't tend to focus so much on, at least in California, on their congressional representatives. That anger, that ire is more pointed towards Joe Biden, honestly. And that's what you hear people say, whether it's in polling or just man on the street interviews. Folks are upset with the administration. They don't really tend to focus on Congress as much.
Thaddeus, have you rejoined us from Michigan? Good evening, Thaddeus.
Yes. Greetings. Greetings from flyover country, John. You flew right over me to the West Coast.
I did fly right over you, all right. I beg your pardon. What highlights are you seeing from the point of view of the Great Lakes? What's around you that is striking? Gasoline prices, inflation, what else, Thaddeus?
Well, what's striking is something we've always talked about, John. Campaigns matter. Unfortunately, like it or not, money matters, organization matters. and where the Republican Party was able to marshal their campaigns, their money, and their grassroots together behind candidates that seem to be doing well in places like Ohio, which has a tremendous state party there and tremendous enthusiasm amongst the voters. And it looks like J.D. Vance will take advantage of that. In places where you do not, such as in Michigan, where we've had Tudor Dixon, who has yet to get that kind of support from both the Trump people and the establishment people, it's going to be a very difficult slog for her. It's still early yet, but indications are not necessarily good. She was also not helped by candidates for Secretary of State and Attorney General who were neophyte candidates and not well-organized, certainly not well-funded. When you look at Illinois obviously is going to be Illinois. It's going to be very blue. Wisconsin will be intriguing to see if that is how that plays out. But at this point in time, John, what's old is new again.
Right.
You have to support candidates that have the means and the ability to run their own campaign. You cannot simply hope for a wave to carry somebody across the finish line.
We will return to my three correspondents, East, Midwest, and West Coast. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.